Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of X Knows All. So last week, I covered part one of the Justin, Haley, Selena, and the Kylie Jenners. And this week, we're going to just round it out between what happened between the years of 2016 all the way into today. Well, not really even into today. It's more of just like when he proposed to Haley. So that'll take up the majority of the episode. And then towards the bottom of the episode, I'm going to cover a few questions that was asked on my, you know, my influencer AMA. But no, seriously, if you're uninterested in hearing about that, feel free to just stop the episode after I'm done talking about Haley. But in that, in my AMA, I just talk about questions such as who my celeb crushes, who my celeb childhood crushes, my favorite reality shows, things about me personally, things like that. So again, if you're disinterested, just feel free to shut the episode off after I talk about this whole Justin debacle. So before I dive into the episode, I wanted to just thank everyone for sliding into the DMs. It's been such a pleasure engaging and talking with you. I just did a giveaway for anyone that rated, reviewed, and subscribed to the show, and I sent them a little gift, a little mailer. So I'm very excited for the three of them to get it. As always, I really appreciate everyone for supporting the show. It's been such a fun hobby for me, honestly. Like, it's been such a wild ride, and it's just really exciting every time I release an episode to see what people have to say about it. And I really so appreciate the DMs and everyone just talking to me and just randomly, even when I go off on tangents on my Instagram stories. Like, so I guess really quickly before I dive into the episode, my sister, she's planning her wedding, and it's happening in September of this year, and it's going to be a wedding abroad. It's going to be in Ireland. So I'm kind of just talking through all the kinks with her and planning the wedding. And there's just so many things that go into a wedding that you're not necessarily like aware of until you're actually behind the scenes of one, helping someone plan for it, or just hearing about what they're going through and the stress that it requires. So like, it's really interesting because there's so much etiquette when it comes to a wedding. Like, for example, if the bride sends you like the not web wedding website, don't ask the bride where they should stay during the wedding. Like, please be resourceful. And even though it's a wedding abroad, how much different would it be if the wedding was in Santa Barbara? Like, I don't live in Santa Barbara. I'm not very familiar with the weddings in Santa Barbara, but I sure as hell will not bother the bride as to what hotels she recommends. Like, especially if it's on the wedding website, it just, nothing bothers me more than people that are not resourceful. And like, my sister already has 5 million things on her plate. The last thing she wants to do is answer texts about where to fucking stay. Like, literally use Google Maps or TripAdvisor. Another thing that I thought was kind of funny was we were talking about like wedding etiquette when it comes to gifts. And like, I've gone to so many weddings, I'm sure like everyone else has that's listening to this podcast episode. It's such a wedding season because of COVID and everything. So it's always interesting to hear like what's an appropriate amount of money to give. And personally for me, I'm not the best at gift giving in terms of like finding something that's creative or personable for people. So I always just prefer like giving money to like either the honeymoon fund, or if it's like a new home fund, I like to do that. So I posted this like Instagram story on my X Knows All Instagram. And I had the idea because Troy and Kelly of Beyond the Blinds did like, she's a 10, but you know, X, Y, and Z, it's like somewhat of a deal breaker for most people. So I wrote on my Instagram story just now, I'm like, he's a 10, but when you bring him as a plus one to your sister's wedding, he insists on only giving $35 as a wedding gift. Like, please let me know. Do you feel strongly about that? Because I sure as hell would. Another one that I did was, he's a 10, but he's 30 years old plus and still has 2 roommates, but he has his own ensuite bathroom. I guess that's not too much of a deal breaker. And it also depends on what city you're living in. Like, obviously, if you're when I was living in San Francisco, I had roommates the entire time I lived there. Like, I didn't have the luxury of living by myself in this beautiful high-rise apartment. So obviously, consider the source. But to me, it's like, if you're 30 plus, okay, I don't even, I feel like I'm going to like have people say I'm just a spoiled brat or something. Maybe it's because I am still in the dating pool. So just standards have shifted as I've gotten older. And especially just because at this point, we're all not straight. I mean, when I say we're all, me and my peer group, we're not just fresh out of college. So I guess the standard at which and the outlook at what the people I'm looking at in terms of a dating perspective is very different than what I looked at when I was like 25, right? So what I'm talking about in these standards certainly do not apply to people much younger. But anyways, it's just been very interesting to, how did I even get here? I'm talking about wedding stuff. I'm talking about my sister's wedding, and then all of a sudden I'm talking about a potential guy you're dating who has two roommates who has his own ensuite bathroom. Like, I don't know how we got here. In any case, I'll stop rambling. Let's get straight into the episode. Let's get it going. So, in the last episode, I cover up to 2015. So in this episode, I'm going to be covering 2016 to date. And of course, I'm going to discuss my thoughts on just Justin's messiness, his relationship with Haley, and of course, how he could potentially still feel about Selena. Or does he still think about Selena? Before I dive into 2016, I want to just backtrack a little bit to where we last left off. So in October 2014, Justin and Courtney were hanging out all the time, and we were being bombarded with all of this, right? Because that was around the time when Scott was like fucking around, and that was during the keeping up of the with the Kardashians era, where he was flying women on vacation. When he was going on vacation with the family, he would like fly in different women like to the resort. He was caught cheating on Courtney. So it was just a really messy time for Courtney, and I'm so happy she's found her happiness with Travis. So in any case, they were spotted on October 10th, 2014, going to the Nice Guy. And anyone who is familiar with like just pap photos in Hollywood knows that when you go to the Nice Guy, you're there to exclusively get photographed. It's just a place to be seen. I would equate it to like Craig's, right? A lot of people go to Craig's too. So I think like the Nice Guy and Craig's are very much places to go if you want to be seen. So the only thing I can relate to from like a personal experience is that when I was growing up, people went and still do go to the Ivy, but it was like a huge restaurant. It's on Robertson Boulevard in Beverly Hills. Like Angelina Jolie would go there. Like it's very much an old Hollywood kind of place to be seen. Maybe I don't even want to call it old Hollywood because it's more of like 90s era. But I remember when I would go to the Ivy growing up, like I would beg my mom, please take me to the Ivy because I wanted to see a celebrity. Unfortunately, I've been there several times and I still have never seen a celeb, but there's constantly paparazzi just huddling outside to see if there's anyone, you know, to be seen. So I'd imagine at the Nice Guy or Craig's, it's very similar to where like every Friday and Saturday night, there's going to be paps outside the entrance to get their shot. So anytime, you know, that just shows to me that Justin and Courtney I think Courtney was kind of using him a little bit to spark a little jealousy out of Scott, perhaps. And you go, girl. Like, Courtney's beautiful. Justin was like such an it. I feel like Justin's kind of lost his like it factor, but I feel like back then he was the moment, you know? So I guess after their dinner date, they went to a haunted theme park. And how can I bring up a haunted theme park without thinking about Kim and Pete going to Knott's Berry Farm? I don't think it was during their Knott's Scary Farm era, but regardless, the Kardashians love a theme park. So literally 16 days after Justin's date with Courtney, Justin and Haley are spotted staying out all night in Europe after the European Music Awards. So you'll kind of just see as I go through the episode that Justin is literally with Courtney one day, Haley the next, and like various other et al. Models the rest of the week. Like, he is not committed up into his proposal with Haley. Justin is literally seen with different women every week. It is baffling. Like, I didn't realize at the time like how much he was playing all these various women up until the time that he proposed to Haley. It is bonkers how out a man about town that he was. It's wild how I wonder what in him sparked to finally settle down with Haley, because it was such a whirlwind of a roller coaster all the months and weeks even preceding their engagement. So, you know, as I said, despite his time being spent with both a Kardashian and a Baldwin, this doesn't stop Justin from seeing many a woman. He's going on, you know, dates with models and clearly does not give two shits about Selena or Haley's feelings, because all of these moments and dates are being photographed and being, you know, published in the press. But I guess he is young, famous, good-looking, wealthy, single. Like, I kind of believe he might have a rite of passage too. He wasn't necessarily, at this point in time, was not tied down to anyone, neither Courtney, Haley or Selena. So I guess if you're in your 20s, I feel like it is a rite of passage to be irresponsible, hook up and date whomever we please. And I feel like it's during those times when that's kind of finding out who we are, you know, being with different people, being able to identify what you like, what you don't like, what traits in a person that you really are non-negotiable. So not to say I don't think Justin was necessarily ticking off the traits that he wanted in a woman. That was ultimately his end game, but he's finding out who he is and how can we blame him? Like, imagine if you're at that age and you had a bunch of money at such a young age, right? Like, I'm thinking when I first graduated college and I was working in accounting, like, I had what I thought to be an exorbitant amount of money and it was nothing, right? But at that time, it's all relative. So you're like, wow, I'm finally making money. I'm having a good time. I can go out. Now imagine that multiplied by like 20, right? Like, I had like the most money I ever had and it was only like, it was hardly anything. But imagine just having all the access and no one telling you no. You're going to take full advantage of that because why the hell wouldn't you? This kind of breaks me back into like another one of my tangents about people that like date and marry the first person that they meet in either college or high school. No shame on that, but literally could never be me. But that's also likely attributable to the fact that I was such a fucking loser in high school and I never had any boyfriends because I was just such a weird chick. Then in college, I feel like I really came into my own and I decided to care a bit more about my appearance and like makeup and stuff like that. But I was just such a like degaff person in high school. So maybe it's just because I never had that experience. So I can't really say whether or not it would be a good idea to land with the first person you end up being with. But I think objectively, it just doesn't seem to me like a very good idea because you're not finding out who you are. You don't find out who you like, what you... You know, it's just you don't get to know yourself as much. I think with every relationship, right, you kind of get a better understanding of yourself too, not only about that person or about the traits that you like or dislike about that person, but you also really like find out more about yourself and your triggers and things like that. So again, going off on a bit of a tangent, but that's just to say that who's to blame Justin for behaving in the manner that he did at that age with all the access and money in the world? So around the time that Justin was out with Courtney and seeing with all these models, Selena is coming out with a little bit of a retaliation. So Selena at that time was seen at a party with Niall Horan of One Direction and is seen leaving the party with him. And it was actually Jenna Dewan Tatum's birthday party, which is so random. Like, there's always all these celebrities that you see running in the same circuit. And you're just like, wait, that's such a random group of people. Like, why would you actually... Oh, did you guys hear that? Sorry, this UPS guy just came right outside my door and like dropped a package off. I apologize. That kind of threw me off. So that's just always random when you find out that celebrities are running in the same group of people. And it's just like, how does Selena know Jenna Dewan Tatum? Like, it's so random. So around that time when she's seen leaving the party with Niall Horan, Justin is continuing to post thirsty throwback photos of him and Selena to get her attention. God damn, this man is so thirsty. So I remember during that time, it was so messy. It's every time I would open my Instagram feed, I would see Justin posting another photo of him and Selena together. And it was like, are they together? Are they not? And I feel like this attributed a lot to people's fascination with their relationship because it was like a bait and switch constantly. One month, you know, they'd be fabulous. They'd be seen together. Then he'd be with Haley. And then he's not with Haley, but he's posting with Selena. It just felt so like, what's the deal with this couple? They always kept us on our toes. Out with Niall Horan, rumors continue to swirl that Justin and Courtney are hooking up. So on March 28th of 2015, Courtney, which is still on her Instagram, Courtney had posted a pic of Justin with Mason. And Mason is just like on Justin's back in the pool, like splashing around, like splash splash, taking a bath all about a Saturday night. And it was a really adorable picture. And it seemed kind of like, I mean, but he is a family friend, so who's to say? But again, it was just sparking the rumors that like Courtney and Justin are fucking. So fast forward a couple months, Haley is back in the picture. Justin's taking Haley with him on family vacations. And I totally remember this vacation. They were in the Bahamas with his family. I think the Bahamas or Puerto Rico. And they had taken that Instagram photo when she was kind of looking out in the distance. And Justin's just like so mature. He like licks his finger and then he puts his finger and puts it in her ear. Ugh, like so disgusting. And this was just a year after that crazy Dubai New Year's Eve trip when Selena had spent time with Kendall and Gigi, and Hailey had spent time with Justin during New Year's Eve. So it's just interesting to see how the tides have kind of shifted just a year later. So it's about this time after his family vacation with Hailey that things start to get real public with their relationship. He was posting her left and right on his Instagram. There's that infamous photo of them on what it looks to be like a party bus of them kissing, and they're both of their hands are on those like top rails of the party bus to like disallow you from slipping. And, you know, her ass is like sticking out. They're in this third embrace and this like very intimate like makeout session. And it's really like an in-your-face of like, look at me, I'm with Hailey. How's about that? So it's about this time when he's seen being photographed with Hailey that Selena comes out in a Rolling Stone interview when she's promoting her newest album, Revival, in 2016. And this is also around the time that she was recording and that she released The Heart Wants What It Wants, as well as Good For You. And a few cute snippets from her Rolling Stone article that I will call out was the interviewer asked, your first concert was a Britney Spears show, and how old were you? And she said, I was 11 or 12. I'm from Texas, so it was in Dallas. We couldn't really afford to do any of that stuff, but my mom had been saving up because it was the first CD I'd ever bought. Which, tangent, I think any millennial around this age, like I'm 31, Selena's, I think, about to turn 30, like, that was everyone's first album, was a Britney Spears album. You either had the pink or the blue CD. And I think the blue was the more like rare edition, whereas the pink was like more distributed to like everyone else. Anyways, so back to the quote. Selena says, I was absolutely obsessed with Britney. We were in the nosebleeds, and it was awesome. And it's just really cute how like 20 plus years later, she's seen attending Britney Spears' wedding, which I just found out through Britney's Instagram post, because she posted a photo of Selena yesterday. It basically confirms that Britney was clearly not in charge of her wedding list, because she said that when I found out Selena was coming, I was overjoyed. So just something to think about. Anyways, the Rolling Stone article goes on to say, recently we saw an Instagram video of Justin Bieber singing to you just before the American Music Awards. What is happening there? And what is it like to have the world see that? And of course, she is alluding to what I talked about in the past episode about him serenading her at the hotel bar. So Selena responds to the interviewer, well, I am sorry, first of all. And honestly, what I would love to be printed is that I am so beyond done talking about that and about him. Whew. Tell us more, Selena. So Justin similarly does an article with GQ in February of 2016, around the same time with the messiness that is Hailey and Selena. And so here are some of the most notable highlights that came out of this interview that I kind of pulled up. So this, remember, was around the time that he had released his hit Sorry. And so when asked about whether Sorry was related to his indiscretions about having been arrested and all of his public like humiliation and all that, he responds, everyone, when they start growing up, realizes, man, I did some dumb shit when I was younger. It's not just me. If I could go back, I wouldn't really change much. I think it's all about my journey. This stuff made me who I am. And then when the interviewer asked about people disappointing him, he points to his faith. So the article reads, quote, in conversation, Bieber alludes often to the fallibility of those closest to him. Justin Bieber says, I've had people that burn me so many times. If we invest everything we have in a human, we're going to get broken. God is probably the only person in the universe that I can really trust. And he goes on to say, I feel like that's why I have a relationship with him. Emphasis on capital him. Because I need it. I suck by myself. Like when I'm by myself, I feel like I have nothing to lean on. Terrible, terrible person. If I was doing this on my own, I would constantly be doing things that are, I still am doing things that are stupid, but it just gives me some sort of hope and something to grasp onto, and a feeling of security and a feeling of being wanted and a feeling of being desired. And I feel like we can really get so much of that from a human. We can only get so much of that from a human. So I think that's really all to say that he's gotten broken by Selena. He's learned a lot about himself through that, and he really relies and leans on his relationship with God to better himself and know that he's continuously going on the right path. Couldn't relate, you know, personally, but good for you, Justin. We love the Christianity, the belief in Christ, Jesus Christ, amen. It was also around this time that when he was getting arrested and being a goddamn fool, his relationship with his mother had been pretty strained, because I remember when Scooter Braun first came out with Justin and was, you know, the PR team was going insane on Twitter. I remember around that time in like 2014 when Justin was following everyone on Twitter and was like, everyone's a believer. Anne Frank is a believer. Like, oh my God. That around that time when he was first coming out, Justin was very open about how close he was with his mother. And I felt like that's kind of how he came on the map of like, oh, look, he has such a close relationship with his mother who had him at such a young age. But it was around this time in 2016, you know, fast forward 5-6 years since he had rose to stardom, that him and his relationship with his mother had become very strained. And I totally remember this. And it's so sad because I feel like there was a point in time based on my research that Justin and his mom, they were kind of by themselves. Jeremy, Justin's father, seemed to be quite an absent parent. And Jeremy Bieber kind of got beat up in the press about being like a Dina Lohan adjacent parent, where they were kind of just with their child to, you know, to get money out of them and to party with them and to not be a parent, but more like a friend. Whether or not I believe that about Dina Lohan is a completely different episode. I actually believe Dina Lohan was like a really fabulous mother. Don't come at me. I don't even want to explain it on this episode, but you know, that to say that I don't know enough about Jeremy Bieber's relationship and how he was growing up with Justin to say whether it's one way or another, but I do say, what I will say is that Patty Mallette and Justin were really close and it seems like their relationship was disintegrating at this time. So when I went into a little bit of a quick deep dive into Patty's relationship with Justin, I guess she had given birth to Justin at the age of 17. And this is all documented in her 2012 autobiography titled Nowhere But Up. But she had a stint as a drug dealer when she was young, when she was a teenager. She even had attempted suicide by launching herself into the path of an oncoming truck. And then once she had realized that she needed help, she had the spiritual awakening when she was admitted into a mental hospital or a psych ward. So it's crazy, like mental health and mental illness, I'm sure, run in his family. So thrust a person who has history of mental illness into stardom where all eyes are on him. And, you know, it's a recipe for disaster. And again, I kind of go back to, let's give Justin grace, okay? He definitely was a little shithead and a punk, but like, clearly mental illness runs in his family, and he's never come out to say that he suffers with anything that's actually like a specific medical diagnosis, as far as I know, like unlike Selena, who's come out with like bipolar disorder, anxiety and depression. I don't think Justin has full out said, I've been diagnosed with bipolar or depression or anxiety. I don't think he's ever come out and said specifically, but he has talked about, you know, his mental health and his struggles. And we'll talk more about that later when he cancels his Purpose tour. But around the time of his arrest in 2014 was when they kind of just distanced themselves from one another. And Patty had moved to Kauai during the time of this strained relationship. And so in this GQ article, Justin goes on to say, quote, I'm a lot closer to my dad than I am to my mom. And he explains that his relationship with his parents have kind of switched. So it's interesting because, as I mentioned just now, Jeremy was not really portrayed in the press as the greatest father. He was more absentee. He was more aligned with, you know, his interest to Justin grew in proportion to Justin's fame. And Jeremy, interestingly enough, was not even present at Justin's birth because he had been in jail. But he was present with Justin when Justin had been arrested in Miami in 2014. So, you know, he's kind of portrayed as a parent who has, you know, he's the bad influence, but Justin in this article speaks about him reverently. Jeremy Bieber lives in Ontario, and so they see each other sporadically. But around this time, you know, Patty Mallette was all the way off in Kauai, and he just didn't seem to have basically any communication with her. So around this time is when he went on his Purpose World Tour, and this is when everything had gone into shambles. And I want to also point out the fact that Purpose was probably one of Justin's best albums, and I don't think it necessarily gets the credit that it deserves. It's one of those albums where I feel like it probably deserved a Grammy, and I don't know if it did actually end up receiving a Grammy, but I feel like Justin was never as famous as he was when the album was released. It just had bop after bop, and I feel like all of his other albums thereafter have been good, but I don't think they hold a candle to Purpose. Let me know your thoughts. What's your favorite Justin album? In the same interview with GQ, he's literally physically with Haley when the interview was there. So the interviewer describes this moment where this is like around the moments where he's around the time when Selena and Haley are kind of like, he's bouncing between both relationships. And the interviewer says that when she walked into the room that they were doing the interview for, Haley was inside just chilling there. And she describes it saying like Haley wasn't on her phone. She wasn't reading a book. She was literally just in the room, like probably staring at a wall, just like very low key, which is kind of funny. So after they had left this room, Justin and the interviewer head for the hotel courtyard, leaving Haley alone in this his suite. And so the interviewer asks Justin, are you guys dating? And Justin shakes his head no. And then the interviewer asks, is she just a friend that you kiss sometimes? And Bieber replies, uh-huh, I guess so. And the journalist notes a few days later, before the article was published, that Justin's team reached out and asked him to add this to Justin's description of Haley, quoting, she's someone I really love. We spend a lot of time together. Maybe Haley like reamed his ass for not like elaborating on their relationship. So a month into his Purpose tour and a month after he had done this interview with GQ, he posts a picture with Selena and it's just a picture of them kissing. It looks like an old school photo and the caption is read feels. And Selena responds with just the comment, perfect. Period. So it's just so messy, right? Because he was literally with Haley a week before and now he's posting TBT photos with Selena. So literally the days after this picture was posted to his Instagram, Haley is seen accompanying Justin backstage. And then 3 days later, Selena went to the same concert in LA to support Justin in his Purpose tour. So he's literally backtracking between both women in a matter of days. This is just like example one of like 50 that I read in this Reddit article that, again, I will link in the show notes. But Haley was clearly hurt by this, and she subtweets Justin in an Instagram post that looks like a Bible verse of some sorts about her gratefulness and cultivating a thankful heart, but she limits comments on this post. So I think it's clearly like a jab at Justin, like she needs to be thankful for everything she has in her life and she can't let this guy, you know, take a hold on her because he's flip-flopping between his ex and her, but clearly Haley's hurting. So 3 days after Haley posts this subtweet on her Instagram, you know, Selena and him have plans to rent out the Staples Center for a date, just the two of them to watch the Titanic. But something happened on that supposed date, right before the supposed date, I should say. So Justin completely rents out the entire Staples Center for a night to watch this movie. And something happens to where Selena just bails on him at last minute. And it's interesting because just a couple days after, at the iHeartRadio Music Awards, they see each other and they ignore one another. Who's to say what actually happened that, you know, that pushed Selena to cancel this date, but enough to where they didn't even want to speak to each other a couple days after. So the days following this, after this canceled Staples Center date, it appears that they're both kind of making moves to make the other person jealous. So Selena is rumored to be dating Charlie Puth, and they even started in a song together. But Charlie Puth has come out later saying that it was very clear that she was in love with another guy the entire time that he spent time with her. So it's like a rebound. It's a classic rebound, right? Meanwhile, during this time, Justin continues to clickbait Kendall Jenner back into the photo. So he posts a picture of Kendall and her Vogue cover shoot that she had recently shot with the caption, "Congrats, Ken, you look beautiful." Then a couple weeks later, Justin is hanging out with Haley at the Met Gala, all while Selena is hanging out with Orlando Bloom. And if you don't know anything about the Orlando Bloom-Selena Gomez relationship, throw in Miranda Kerr and Justin Bieber, then you should listen to episode one of this podcast, X Knows All, about Selena Gomez, because I go into detail about that. So during this whirlwind of a romance, Selena's seen with Orlando, Selena's seen with Charlie Puth, you know, Justin's with Haley, he's with all these models. Then out of nowhere in this whirlwind of romances to make the other jealous, Justin is seen out several times with Nicola Peltz, who, fun fact, is now married to Brooklyn Beckham. And I remember during that time when Brooklyn Beckham, well before he was dating Nicola Peltz, and, you know, she was apparently dating Justin Bieber, which I had no idea about. This is when, like, Brooklyn and Chloe Grace Moretz were, like, kind of in a couple. And it's just so interesting because clearly Brooklyn does not have a type. Like, I feel like Chloe Grace Moretz is so edgy and like, she's not that girl. Like, she just doesn't give a shit, which I love about her. I like that she's pretty organic and she seems to be totally herself. Whereas Nicola Peltz just seems like, dare I say it, American royalty. Like, she comes from like the most wealthiest family in America. She just seems like a typical blonde, you know, celebrity. Just Chloe Grace Moretz just doesn't seem that way. I don't know. Clearly, Brooklyn Beckham doesn't have a type. A little bit on a tangent. But then on July 4th of 2016, he's seen, Justin Bieber is seen with Ashley Benson on a yacht in Miami. And so let's just go on a quick tangent about Pretty Little Liars, because I remember when that show was airing, I was obsessed. And there was this one episode, and like, it was ingrained in me through my brain because I loved Pretty Little Liars and I was also obsessed with Justin Bieber. So it was when Hannah Marin was in like detention and Caleb, her love interest on the show before they became love interest, is with her at detention. And he's poking fun at her for like missing something because she had to go to a Justin Bieber concert. And she was like, Bieber's it, Bieber's the moment, don't make fun of Justin Bieber, like I love him, like Hannah Marin, the character, was saying this. And it's interesting because Ashley Benson did have this really strange relationship with Justin Bieber that not a lot of people know about, because at the time of when Justin was rising to fame, like pre-Purpose, she was dating Ryan Good, who it was and still is in Justin's entourage. So Ashley Benson spent a lot of her time with Justin Bieber around the time that like all this Pretty Little Liars, like allusion to Justin Bieber was being written about. So it's just interesting because people on, you know, the press was saying Ashley Benson spotted on a boat with Justin Bieber. And I really think that's not as salacious as people want to make it. I think it's just they were really close because of the relationship with Ashley and Ryan, and of course Ryan with Justin. So a couple months later, after he's hanging out with Nicola Peltz, he's seen with Ashley Benson on a yacht. Then Justin Bieber is out seen with Sophia Richie. And so like, I cannot even keep track of like the Hollywood love interest. It's literally like, let's take a step back. So at the beginning of this episode, I was talking about Courtney, who Justin was allegedly dating. Courtney, who has children with Scott, who dated Sophia Richie for years, who also dated Justin Bieber. Like, it's literally a love square. And it's always like that. Like I said, it always comes back to either David Foster or the Kardashians. Like, they are always like the bridge of the gap. And if you, you can't make this shit up. I feel like in Hollywood, everyone dates each other. It's everyone's just a result of nepotism. So the same month that Justin is seen hanging out with Sophia Richie, in August 2016, Selena was in the middle of her revival tour and she canceled it right in the middle, right before the European leg of the tour was about to begin. So Selena was quoted to say, "I've discovered that anxiety, panic attacks, and depression can be the side effects of lupus, which can present their own challenges. I want to be proactive and focus on maintaining my health and happiness and have decided that the best way forward is to take some time off." And I have to give her so much respect for that. Imagine having an entire flood of people relying on you to present and perform every single night. You have the camera crew, you have the lighting people, you have your management team, you have the dancers, you have the concert people that work at the venue. Like, you are responsible for so many people's jobs and for them to be able to bring food on the table day in and day out. And to be able to take a step back from that and say, I can't be my best self unless I take time off and then I can come back better than ever and be a fair employer to everyone, it signifies to me such a source of strength. I do want to like also juxtapose that with kind of what I talked about in the Selena Gomez episode about why my relationship with Selena is really complex. And it's because I love that she at one point struggles with so much mental health and anxiety. And I definitely want to attribute that a lot to her, to like the physical, her physical health with her lupus and her kidneys and all of that. I also am wondering how much of Justin was attributable to these breakdowns, because every time there's like a gap in her working or her falling apart mentally, it seems like it always kind of corresponds with Justin. And it's obviously of no surprise. I think some of our darker moments are when things end, whether that's an actual death, you're grieving the death of, you know, someone you love in your life, an animal that you loved in your life. A breakup is somewhat of like you're grieving something that's no longer there. It's as if that person's dead effectively, but it's like sometimes it can be more painful for people because it's like they're still on this earth and you have to grieve the pain. I don't want to say it's more difficult than grief of someone dying, but it's just a different kind of grief. I feel like that's similar, but also dissimilar to grief of a person actually physically dying. So anyways, I'm really happy that Selena took some time off to focus on her mental health. All that to say, she expressed it was only related to the side effects of her lupus. And I think there was a lot to be said about the toll that Justin Bieber was taking on her mental health and why that attributed to her canceling the Revival tour. So in December of 2016, Selena is released out of rehab. And I think it's really interesting because I totally remember when this happened and like going online on like People Magazine when they were reporting on this and like just thinking how insane her PR team is, because a lot of musings on the internets, on Reddits, on these like subreddits talk about how, I mean, what NT says, talk about Selena's alleged drug use and how she was really into coke and drank a lot and abused her body. Like there's a lot of blind items about that and just musings on the internet that, again, the average layperson does not know. Like I feel like if you're listening to this show, you know, because you and I, we read the same shit, you know what I mean? Or we listen to the same podcast, but like the normal, like my coworkers, like they aren't nearly as entrenched in this. Like they wouldn't know, you know, the normal person wouldn't. So it just goes to show how insanely effective her PR team was during this entire time of her alleged drug abuse and her rehab stints, her several rehab stints. So I was doing a little bit of digging into Reddit of what people were saying at that time that she had been admitted into rehab. And so I guess Selena had done an Instagram live right before her rehab stint and right before she had canceled the Revival tour. And someone wrote this on Reddit. They said, quote, "Before this, though, it was reported and raised eyebrows that after her IG live, she had sent J-Lo a DM stating she spoke to God, which seemed out of character. She is religious, but never has said something like that before. I feel badly because I praised her Instagram live and I assumed it was good for her." So people were saying on Reddit that like, oh, I watched that Instagram live too. It literally sounded like a mental breakdown. Like she had clearly been going through something before she had canceled the tour. Like to everyone that was watching her right before that rehab scene, it just sounded like she was mentally like on the brink. And I also want to kind of go on a tangent about just Selena and who she was surrounding herself at the time, because I follow a lot of accounts on social media of like Selena Gomez fan accounts or Selena Gomez updates accounts. I only do it for like celebrities that I really like. So I think I literally only do it for her and Jacob Elordi. But around that, like right now, Selena really holds her faith and her Christian faith like really close to her. And like even her Instagram bio for her main account is like by grace through faith. She talks about her relationship with God often. All of her friends that she surrounds herself with today are very religious. And I'm always curious, who was she surrounding herself with at the time? And were these new friends that she kind of pushed away during her partying, alleged coke use days? Or, you know, did she make these friends and build these relationships post-rehab when she was trying to get better? It always just like interests me, because all of her friends that she's really close with, like the people she showed on her Selena and Chef show on HBO Max, there's like this girl named Caroline. There's Raquel. There's I'm like blanking on all their names and I follow all of them on Instagram, but she's very vocal and they all seem like such sweet religious girlies. So I'm like, interesting, where were they? Maybe she just wasn't friends with them yet. I don't know. I'm just very curious about the people that Selena befriends herself, surrounds herself with, because it's like, we know the famous people like Taylor and Julia Michaels, Cara Delevingne, but like, what about the normies that she surrounds herself with? And like, do they party with her? Did they party with her? Do they push her to stay away from that scene? Who's to say? So during this time that Selena had been spending in rehab from August to December of 2016, Justin is of course seeing with a multitude of women, including Chantal Jeffries, Sophia Richie, like I mentioned before. And he even went out to Hawaii one weekend for a photo shoot and flew out like a bunch of models private jet wise. So Justin is out here giving zero fucks. So in January 2017, Selena begins dating Abel, also known as The Weeknd. And it's so funny because this was post him and Bella being together. Obviously, him and Bella have dated since then, but this was right after like the heels of his breakup with Bella. And so God, I love when Instagram used to be so messy and less curated, but Hailey had posted an Instagram, like basically signifying her Team Bella-ness by posting a picture of Bella with a caption, "Wait, sorry, who could possibly be cuter than Bella Hadid? Literally nobody." During the time that Selena and Abel are gallivanting around the world together, they're in Italy 1 month and in France the next, and they're spotted together on a yacht together in Italy, and you'll see this, you know, the significance of that in a minute. But her relationship with Abel was interesting because she's, you know, she was fresh out of rehab. She had just gotten released from rehab in December of 2016. And then in Jan 2017, she's seen out and about with Abel, who we all know based on like his lyrics and everything, all he talks about is like partying and doing blow. So to me, it's like, interesting choice of a boyfriend there, but you know. So a source says in this article that I read that when she had gotten released from rehab and she was spending time with Abel, quote, "Selena drank nonstop throughout his Paris concert. And that night, they and two other friends basically spent the entire night awake so that they could party. He doesn't seem to be a great influence on her. You would think if your girlfriend had just come out of rehab, you would discourage partying, but this has not been the case." So make with that what you will. I always thought it was a little bit bizarre, their relationship, and I always felt it was an interesting choice of person considering, you know, his partying ways. But again, Selena's team has never come out and said straight up, oh yeah, Selena has an issue with drugs and alcohol, because that's still never been confirmed, right? It's all alleged. But in the back end, you know, us as consumers of pop culture and in the deep interwebs, it makes you definitely raise an eyebrow as to what was actually going on. So for Abel's 27th birthday, Selena had paid $30,000 for a huge party at the Hollywood Dave & Buster's. It was a star-studded affair. People like Big Sean were in attendance, and she just dropped all the money because she wanted to make him happy, which is, we love a supportive girlfriend. So then, of course, they make, Selena and Abel make their first public appearance at the Met Gala, and oh my God, Selena with that long pink dress, like with the pink eyeshadow, it kind of looked like a Reformation dress, low-key. But yeah, it just seems like everything is going splendidly with their relationship. On Selena's birthday in the summer, the weekend takes a 12-hour flight to be with her, and then, interestingly enough, just 7 months after, you know, Selena had gotten discharged from rehab, Justin similarly cancels his Purpose World Tour in the middle, saying that he couldn't do it because of his mental health. Touring was too exhausting for him physically and mentally. So a friend of mine had gone to the Purpose Tour in Oakland when I was living in San Francisco, and I remember asking her how it was, and she was like, "He just seems sad. Like, he seemed sad the entire time. It just felt like he was going through the motions. He just didn't seem like he wanted to be there." And of course, a couple weeks after that, he had canceled. So around this time, when Justin's canceling his tour, Selena's gallivanting around Europe with The Weeknd, Hailey is dating Cameron Dallas, who, to me, I have no idea who the fuck that is. Gen Z must know. Let me know, Gen Z, who's listening. Apparently, he's a YouTube star. But you know, so she's seeing, she's a girl about town. She's spending time with other people. But this really doesn't seem to be fazing Justin at all, because he's plenty busy with all the models he's hanging out with every weekend. And of course, with Kourtney Kardashian. Things begin to take a turn because in October 2017, so this is still while Selena is dating The Weeknd, Justin's car is seen parked outside of Selena's house. And they're hanging out and getting breakfast the following morning. Which, hold on, pump the brakes. Like, what the hell? This is so sketch. Like, this was just a couple months right before, you know, Abel had flown out 12 hours to see Selena for her birthday. They had seemed to be going so well. I don't know what the impetus or the inception or the catalyst was for Selena and Justin to reunite in October of 2017. I don't know who did the initial reach out, but then it all starts spiraling from there, and Selena and Justin 2.0 is in full force. So like I said, they're hanging out, seen getting breakfast the following morning. And then reports say that Selena went back to Justin's house as they were preparing for church. And there's this video, and I talk about this in the Selena Gomez episode, where they're seen in a very sketchy part of LA. It looks like somewhere in, like, I don't know. It just seems like a very, very sketchy part of LA. And there's this guy, and I'll describe what the video was, but there's this guy, and he has this like janky BlackBerry Storm, like, phone with a shitty camera, and he's like, "Yo, Justin Bieber's here. Why is Justin Bieber here?" And he flips the camera, and there's Justin like, "Come on, man, please stop taking photos. Please stop doing this." And then this guy who's taking the video walks away, and he's like, "Yo, why is Justin Bieber here? This is so weird. This is a bad part of LA." And then the camera pans up, and you see Justin and Selena like fast walking down this alley. And they had no security around them. It was completely like, what the hell are you doing in this part of town on the other side of the tracks, you know? Because my understanding from watching Demi Lovato's YouTube is that if she wanted drugs, she could just get them at the club. Like, she'd walk into a club and someone would just offer her a bump of cocaine and she's like, let's have at it, you know? But it's like, they must have been, I mean, to me, it makes sense, I guess, that they could have, that they were looking for drugs. But like, can't you have someone else do that for you? It just seems very like junior of them, a very junior move. So when Justin and Selena are seen out and about, it's no surprise Selena and The Weeknd break up. And in The Weeknd's album that he releases after he and Selena break up, he has a lyric that says, quote, but now we cruising on a yacht, we clear, said you wanted your boyfriend jealous with a couple pics, and you didn't expect to fall for me once you got this dick. OMG. Calling her out. So Justin and Selena are again, they're picking back up. Those November 2017 photos arise, and God, the absolute chokehold that these photos had on me. It was the bike rides that they were doing. Selena was in an all gray hoodie, I mean, sweatsuit. Justin was wearing that Thrasher red hoodie with like basketball shorts. His hair was messy. They're everything of the sort. Selena's holding the books. They both have a nice coffee in hand. All is well in the Justin and Selena world. There was also another video that surfaced of Justin playing hockey and Selena's on the sidelines. And when Justin's done playing hockey, he gets off the rink and Selena jumps up on him and wraps her arms around his shoulders. Like, it was an everything of the sort moment. I was so happy. I was like, wow, they're OTP. They're totally belonging together. Like, I love this. And of course, where's Haley during all this, right? So Haley at this time is seen dating, quote unquote, dating Shawn Mendes. And like, don't even get me fucking started on that PR disgusting relationship, because they've later admitted like today that it was all just for fake PR and just to rise both of their stardoms, and it totally worked. But anyways, back to Selena and Justin. So in March 2018, they unexpectedly just broke up. So they had been dating from November 2017 to March, and they were so basically on a streak of like 4 months with a reconciliation. Everything seems to be happy, and all of a sudden it just, they stopped. And everywhere was reporting different stories. And so I've read two suspecting things on what was happening with this relationship at the time. So I've heard two stories. One from a source on the internet that reads, quote, he wasn't ready to settle down with her as soon as she wanted to, and she couldn't get him to actually think about marriage in a serious nature. She was looking to settle down sooner than Justin wanted to, and she took his reluctance as the last straw to finally move on from him. She would not continue unless he put a ring on it. So that's one. Another source says that he was the one that actually literally proposed to Selena, and she was the one who denied him and says that she wasn't ready. So whether or not either of these stories is true, I think ultimately one wanted seriousness and the other couldn't commit. And I feel like, I don't know which one is true. I want to say that maybe she wanted it and he didn't. Because I just, the reason I say that is because the way that he was partying and behaving with so many girls around the past 2 years doesn't make me think that he was ready to settle down. But of course, I'm going to put my foot in my mouth because he does in a couple months with Haley. But we'll get there. So I'm always just curious as to like what was the final straw, because it's still like I can't find anything on the internet that actually confirms what the hell happened. And of course, when her newest song, Lose You to Love Me, comes out, she says, I had to hate you to love me. It's like, what happened? What made you hate him to love me? Because I felt like Selena would have never quit him unless he did something drastic. I think maybe that was his marriage to Haley. I don't know. It's just like, it bothers me so much because it just, all I want to know is what was the final straw for both of them. And I just can't get any answers. So of course, in May 2018, Shawn and Haley are seen attending the Met Gala together. But then a month later after the Met Gala, Haley and Justin reconnect. And literally a month later, he proposed to her in the Bahamas. So Haley is quoted to say, the common denominator, I promise you, is always church, Haley tells Vogue. By then, we were past the drama. I just gave him a hug. By the end of the conference, he was like, we're not going to be friends. And I was like, we're not? So throughout the month of June, they were on all these like public, they were on like a, we're in a relationship tour, like being seen left, right, and center. In the Hamptons out in LA, like they were making their relationship known, walking the streets of Tribeca together. And then in July of 2018, of course, he proposes to her in the Bahamas. So let's take a step back and do a quick time lapse. He's with Selena in November 2017. They break up in March 2018. He's seen with Haley in June 2018, so 3 months subsequent to his breakup with Selena, and then a month later, he's engaged. So that's literally 4 months from when he and Selena broke up to when he and Haley got engaged. The shit that would do to me, that would honestly wreck me. Wreck me. The timeline doesn't make sense. And again, it makes me think that something drastic must have happened for him to have taken such an egregious step. I think that my last, so of course now, you know, they got married and all is well, and that's kind of where it ends. But I think what I do want to say is that I think I've always kind of connected to Justin Bieber on a level of, because he's a Pisces, and I don't know, Pisces are a certain breed of like a, I hate to get like all woo-woo on everyone, but like I never met a Pisces that I didn't love because we're so intuitive and emotional and like just speak from the heart. And I think that Justin being a Pisces and having the same energy as I do, I think he'll always have a love for Selena. I think that Justin had a lot of issues going into his proposal with Haley. I think that the years leading up to his engagement, not just like the weeks or the months leading up to the engagement, but the years leading up to the engagement, as I spoke about in this entire episode, is literally fucking different woman on a weekly basis. Like, I'd be curious to know his number because I bet it's at least in like the 300s, I'd imagine. But all that to say, I think that he thought that the only way that he could fix himself and find peace within himself is if he relied on someone else to give him that peace. And I've, again, as a Pisces, I totally understand that. It's like you sometimes have to reach outside yourself to find this comfort and peace. And it's not the best characteristic or trait that Pisces have. And I don't want to speak for all Pisces, but like sometimes we just have to reach outside of ourselves to find that inner peace. And I think that's what Justin was doing. I think that the way to push down his uncomfort and feeling of not being good enough for himself was to get married and settle down, particularly with a woman of faith. That was Haley, who was always available to him, who was always there for her. She was that source of peace for him. And he's even admitted today in a People magazine interview over the past year, he said, quote, "I remember when I first got married, I hit a little bit of an emotional breakdown because I thought marriage was going to fix all my problems, and it didn't. It was just kind of a reflection of like, man, you're a bit of a hypocrite." So I think it was one of those things where it was an emotional rash reaction to wanting to just fix himself at that moment, and that created this proposal. Like I said, I think Haley's vibeless. I don't really love her, but I do think that she suits him well in terms of keeping him grounded. And I think him and Selena were like, it was like, they hit a boiling point, and I don't think they would ever be able to just go at a simmer. I feel like Justin and Selena are so tortured in an independently of one another, and I think they both have a lot of mental struggles to parse out between either one of them independently before they would be able to get back together. But even if they were to get all the treatment in the world and all the therapy in the world, I still don't know if they could ever just be at a simmer level. I feel like it would always have to be a boiling point for both of them. It's never enough. It always has to be about the drama. It's the trauma bonding. It's the codependency that they share together. I just don't think it's a healthy relationship. I do think that they'll always have love for one another, Selena and Justin, but I think when it comes to just keeping him at peace, keeping him at bay, I hope Haley does a good job of that. Outwardly, it seems like it, she is, but you know, who's to say? Instagram is just fake. Like, you know when you're like on Instagram and you see your friend posting like this like beautiful photo and you're like, you're fucking miserable. You text me saying how fucking pissed you were at your husband, boyfriend, friend, you know? It's all a facade, so who's to say what it's really like? And I like that they keep their relationship relatively private, and they obviously, as everyone else does, only shows their Instagram highlights. But I just don't think if he and Selena were to get back together, I would necessarily root for them as a couple, because I just want them to be both mentally sound, and I don't think they're able to achieve that if they are together. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm literally out of breath. That was such an insane episode. I would love to know your thoughts on hearing this. Like, what do you think? Do you think that him and Haley are OTP? OTP meaning one true pair. Do you think that you could see a world in which Selena and Justin were to get back together? Like, what are your thoughts on it? Please. I would love to hear it. Please slide into my DMs. So let's just go. Rapid fire. Shannon asks who my celebrity crush is and my childhood celebrity crush. So today, Jacob Elordi and Dave Franco all the way. I saw Dave Franco once at the Hollywood Bowl. He's a short king, but, you know, he's everything of the sort. I think he's so hot. Back in the day, it might have been Benny from the Sandlot, or the guy from Now and Then, Devin Sawa. If you know, you know. Shannon also asks my favorite reality shows. It used to be Vanderpump Rules. I was so obsessed. I went to Pride in 2018 and met the entire cast, and I could do an episode in and of itself. Let me just say, Tom Sandoval is an absolute asshole, and I hate how the show portrays him because he's not nice. He was actually the least friendly out of the entire cast, out of everyone, Katie being a close second. In terms of who is the nicest, hands down, Schwartz and Stassi. So I'll do a whole episode on that, but yeah, Schwartz is literally who he is on TV in terms of just being like, oh, I want to just make everyone happy and make sure everyone's good. Like, that's him in real life, and it all honestly shocked me that he and Katie were together because she was just such a bitch at Pride, and he was just like in a good mood, happy to meet everyone, remembered everyone's name, shaking hands, kissing babies, everything of the sort. And Stassi was just very gracious to take photos with everyone. Not everyone, but I'll get into that in another episode. But Stassi was very nice. I know she's had her problems, but yeah, she's great. Three celebs I'd like to go to dinner with, dead or alive. So this one was a little bit of a tough one for me. First, I said Marilyn Monroe because I want to ask her about her death. Was it an assassination by the JFK government, or did she overdose accidentally? Like, something about her life just intrigues me to no end. And I swear at one point I'm going to do a Marilyn Monroe episode because I think she's one of the most fascinating, like, icons of our, not only our generation, but of all time. And I think a lot of that has to do with her crazy upbringing, the life she lived, the men she dated, and ultimately her demise and her death. And it just brings together my two favorite things, which is celebrity pop culture and true crime. My gut instinct tells me that she was poisoned, but again, I think you could also argue it was an accidental overdose. There's truly criteria that support both. The next would be Mary-Kate, and the third would be Ashley. But if you consider Mary-Kate and Ashley a single unit, then I would probably say Selena Gomez because I just love her. Landon asks what I do for work. So I'm actually in revenue accounting at a tech company in the Bay Area. So I used to work at a public accounting firm, and now I basically ensure financials are sound and materially appropriate to report out to the street. So if you see, like, when you look at stocks and stuff, and, you know, in order for you to be a publicly traded company, you have to issue financials. So I basically ensure the credibility of our financials, specifically as it pertains to the revenue financial statement line items. That's the best way I can describe it. It's Bay Area tech is pretty, it's pretty intense. So it's long hours. And I think this podcast is a reprieve. I'm a licensed CPA, but don't ask me to do your taxes because I'm not a tax accountant at all. And then in terms of fun dating stories, Landon wants to ask me about a fun dating story. So I used to have a podcast with my friend Emily when I lived in SF, and it was about dating and relationships. So there was this one date I went on where this guy, I honestly, like, it was this guy I met on an app. This is like way back in the day. I don't even remember what he was saying, but he was just a weird guy. Like, I could not deal with him. I can't even really recall what exactly he said that was so bizarre, but I just could not last another second with him. Like, he was literally driving me insane. So I literally stopped him dead ass. I was like, are you having a good time right now? He's like, yeah, I'm having a great time. What about you? And I was like, I'm going to give you a little point of feedback. Like, you can't say X, Y, and Z to a person you're on a date with. It comes off very, like, patronizing and rude, and I'm just going to Venmo you for the one, and I'm leaving. And I never looked back. If you're not having a good time, ladies and gentlemen, for the few gentlemen that listen to this show, if you're not having a good time on the date, don't hesitate to just get the fuck out of there. Like, my time is too valuable, okay? I'd rather be sitting and watching Real Housewives in my bed or reading my Kindle than fucking talking to you, okay? Like, I can't do it. So yeah, people need to normalize that. Walking away from dates that you don't want to be a part of anymore. Let's normalize it. As always, guys, thank you so much for listening to the show. Please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars and make me famous. I so appreciate everyone's listens. If you could please slide into my DMs, let me know what you want to hear about. I love to interact and I love to engage with you. If you have a 1-star review, please don't be a troll. Go into my DMs if it's constructive criticism. Please don't put it on an app where I can't respond to you. Love you guys. I will see you on the next one.